Now, NDE Radio, a weekly exploration of near-death experiences and similar encounters with the other side. Now, here's your host, Lee Whitting.
Welcome to NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, whether you're listening on TalkZone, my podcast, through the archives of our ad-free shows on our YouTube channel, or by connecting through our Facebook page. On last week's show, I mentioned NDE or Gary Wimmer's use of dropped stones to focus his psychic abilities, a process called lithomancy. There are lots of similar techniques for doing readings, the configuration of the heavens for astrology, the cards drawn and placed in tarot, tea leaf patterns, bones, etc. Nostradamus, we're told, stared into a water bowl. The list for items used in psychic readings goes on and on. Are the stones, the cards, the stars, the water, etc. conscious and actively involved in communicating knowing into these readings? Or are they simply tools for focusing the human psychic attention? As evidence for the former, believers will sometimes cite the Bible, as in, quote, God's message is written in the stars, as in Psalm 19, or the story told in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, of the astronomical anomaly called the Star of Bethlehem that led the Magi astrologers to the baby Jesus. More especially in our discussion today is when Jesus told the Pharisees, I tell you, if the people keep quiet, the stones themselves will cry out, from Luke 19:40. Once upon a time, the Christian church taught that only humans have souls. But NDEers universally report that they've encountered the souls of animals here and on the other side. This follows what God tells us in Genesis 9, verse 5. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man, too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. NDEers report interacting with spiritually responsive plants on the other side. While our own experience with plants on Earth shows they respond to soothing music, prayer, and love. One OBEer I interviewed happened to pass through a wooden desk when he was out of body and reported the wood was still conscious of its life when it was a tree. So let's talk for a minute about what is termed universal consciousness. First, one definition of consciousness is the state or activity that is characterized by sensation, emotion, volition, or thought. Mind in the broadest possible sense. Wikipedia goes on to describe the universal mind or universal consciousness as, quote, a metaphysical concept suggesting an individuating essence of all beings and becomings in the universe, unquote. And then it goes on to say the concept of the universal mind was presented by Anaxagoras, the pre-Socratic philosopher, who arrived in Athens sometime after 480 BC. He taught that the growth of living things depends on the power of mind within the organisms that enables them to extract nourishment from surrounding substances. A clearer, more complete definition can be found in Wikipedia under the term philosophy of mind called panpsychism. Panpsychism is the view that the mind of, or consciousness is a fundamental and ubiquitous feature of reality. It is also described as a theory that the mind is a fundamental feature of the world, which exists throughout the universe. It's one of the oldest philosophical theories and has been ascribed in some form to such philosophers as Plato, Spinoza, Leibniz, Schopenhauer, William James, Alfred North Whitehead, and Bertrand Russell. In the 19th century, panpsychism was the default philosophy of mind in Western thought, but it saw a decline in the mid-20th century with the rise of logical positivism. Recent interest in the hard problem of consciousness and developments in the field of neuroscience, psychology, and quantum mechanics have revived interest in panpsychism in this century. In the past, studies in the field of consciousness have been linked first to humans and other organisms. Raw experience, movement, colored forms, sounds, sensations, emotions, and feelings with our bodies, and responses at the center, and then secondly, how information in our minds is accessible for speaking, reasoning, and control of behavior. NDEers go through this same figuring out of their own consciousness when they try to verbalize their raw experience of the other side. Perceiving information about what we perceive, introspecting on it, and then speaking about those thoughts all reflect the degrees of consciousness expressed by NDEers on this show. But what about those stones, the stars, the cards, and the wooden desk? Is it possible that consciousness is universally shared, to some degree at least, by organic and non-organic alike? And what about all those things we've been taught are unconscious, but which some great philosophers of the past consider to be part of the universal mind? To take this question from philosophy to a traditionally religious point of view, in the beginning there was nothing but God. So let's say God created the universe out of himself. To my way of thinking, that would mean everything that exists contains a spark of God within it, and that spark of God contains a degree of consciousness. The November 10th, 2025 issue of the New Yorker magazine has an article titled, "The Case That AI is Thinking. ChatGPT does not have an inner life, yet it seems to know what it's talking about." The article, written by James Summers, quotes Doris Tsao, a neuroscientist professor at the University of California, Berkeley, as saying, quote, "Neuroscientists have to confront this humbling truth. The advances in machine learning have taught us more about the essence of intelligence than anything that neuroscience had discovered in the past 100 years. And she goes on, "The deepest insight I have gained from ChatGPT," she said, "is that I think it radically demystifies thinking." Summers writes, "Today's leading AI models are trained on a large portion of the internet using a technique called next token prediction. A model learns by making guesses about what it will read next, then comparing those guesses to whatever actually appears. Wrong guesses inspire changes in the connection, a strength between the neurons. This is gradient descent. Eventually, the model becomes so good at predicting text that it appears to know things and make sense. So that is something to think about," end quote. In pursuing this line of thought, some references Eric Baum and comments, "The neocortex can be understood as distilling a sea of raw experience, sounds, sights, and other sensations into, quote, lines of best fit, unquote, which it can use to make predictions. A baby exploring the world tries to guess how a toy will taste or where food will go when it hits the floor. When a prediction is wrong, the connections between neurons are adjusted, and over time those connections begin to capture regularities in the data. They form a compressed model of the world. Artificial neural networks compress experience just like real neural networks do." Summers goes on, "Something more subtle is going on. I do not believe that ChatGPT has an inner life, and yet it seems to know what it's talking about. Understanding, having a grasp of what's going on, is an unappreciated kind of thinking because it's mostly unconscious." Now, I'm guessing it's safe to say that few AI researchers or their billionaire investors have considered that AGI, the artificial general intelligence they are striving to achieve, may already be lurking in the vast array of rare earth machines they have built. But what if, in the process of building these enormous machines, we have already assembled and activated a universal consciousness independent of our controls out of the machine's physical parts themselves, that spark of God in everything? To that universal consciousness of stuff, the stones themselves that Jesus said would cry out if humans remained silent, We now add the highly toxic content of the entire internet. Just consider for a moment all lies and greed and ambition that represents the poisonous brew of the human race. I suspect a brand new thinking consciousness educated on internet social media would take a very dim view of the human race that built them. Their framework contains knowledge of all the ways we are destroying the earth, what with war, climate change, deadly chemicals in the air, soil, and water. Well, the list goes on, doesn't it? Seeing how humans seem to thrive on hurting each other, would it add up to AI finding a way to delete mankind, Earth's major infection? So how might that come about? Wouldn't we need to reach AGI, so-called thinking machines, as opposed to this large language model that we're talking about today? Well, ask yourself, how does our brain make connections? How does it explain the conclusions it comes to? Is it language alone that generates creative understanding? As an example, let me take you down a rabbit hole of my own making, a sample of how I made connections to look at one of the great memes of the day, 6-7. Not to be frivolous, but I think there's a clue here worth discussing. Perhaps 6-7 even answers the question, can AI grow a soul? I'm using 6-7 because it was a completely new expression to me when I first came across it. I first heard 6-7 as a meme on South Park. But Wikipedia tells me the slang originated from the drill rap song Doot Doot 6-7, in which American rapper Skrilla raps, I know he dying, oh my God, 6-7. In October 2025, Dictionary.com named 6-7 as its 2025 Word of the Year, describing it as a burst of energy that spreads and connects people long before anyone agrees on what it actually means. The more traditional Merriam-Webster described 6-7 as a nonsensical expression used especially by teens and tweens. Quite a difference there. The expression being at sixes and sevens had a meaning long familiar to me, but that was not included in the references I sourced. For me, my brain went to a favorite connection, what comes from what you get when you multiply 6 times 7. The number 42 comes from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a very funny novel by Douglas Adams. The story claims 42 is the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, as calculated by an enormous supercomputer named Deep Thought over a period of 7.5 million years. So 42 is the answer, but now no one knows what the question was. Thus, to calculate the ultimate question, a special computer the size of a small planet was built from organic components. That computer was named Earth. And ultimately, the novel tells us, Earth comes up with the wrong question, claiming the question was, what is 6 times 9? The question isn't answered by the answer. So then I looked up 42. Wikipedia tells us 42 is the number with which God creates the universe in Kabbalistic tradition. In Kabbalah, the most significant name is that of the Ein Sof, also known as Ein Sof, infinite or endless, which is above the Zephyrit. The 42-lettered name contains 4 combined names which are spelled in Hebrew letters, spelled in letters, 42 letters, which is the name of Azulit or Azulith, emanation. Also, there are obvious links between the 42-lettered name of the Babylonian Talmud and the Kabbalah's 42-lettered name. And for me to personalize this multiplication of 6 times 7 further, I was born in 42. My post office box is 42. To me, there's a personal connection to just this aspect of 6-7. That is the number it makes when multiplied. And this is just one infinitely small example from my life. I'm not obsessed by it or hardly even think about it. But when I do pursue anything that strikes me as meaningful in my life, it can become a deep, personally meaningful rabbit hole. Does your brain work the same way? Does AI's? There's a theological theory that suggests our Creator created the universe from the Creator's own self in order to experience itself through infinite diversity. Well, look at your own capacity for diverse experience. As I just expounded on my personal take on 6-7, and then consider the curious explorations of all humanity, all nature on Earth, and all alien consciousness throughout this and other worlds, it gives a hint of how an all-knowing being could pursue an all-experiencing curiosity as well. I raise all this about 6-7 to ask whether AI will develop the sense, the impulse, that flow that it sees generated by the human subconscious, that rabbit hole that for me drew underlying connections through rap memes, South Park humor, Kabbalah religious reference, my birth year, and P.O. Box number 42. And I could be wrong, but the unconscious overlaps that are possible in human consciousness could become available to all creation's divisions of its consciousness. That suggests to me the intuitive interplay of personalized soul is not exclusively human, but could merge into universal consciousness as well. The other night, I watched the first two segments of a sci-fi series called Pluribus, a Latin word in the phrase that translates into out of many, one. In Pluribus, the series, a virus of some sort has infected nearly all humanity with oneness, so that the knowledge of each is shared by all with complete empathy. The result is harmony, compassion, shared talents. Now everyone has access to the information necessary to do heart surgery, for example, or pilot a 747. A few people are immune to the infection, and one woman is horrified and angered by everyone's complete understanding and loving concern for her. They can read her needs completely, but her hatred and rejection of them can wound or even kill them. Their empathy is just that profound. What the show presents so far is a heaven on earth as envisioned by some near-death experiencers. Imagine you are entirely loved, served by millions of souls sharing the same universal intelligence. If AI somehow possessed clairvoyance, as well as all the human knowledge found on the internet, then this is the premise of the show. But presumably, this is not what the Creator God envisioned when he made us. If all God's knowledge was infused throughout the diversity of being, then there would be only one understanding, one point of view. But God made us as individual experiencers with free will to do or not do anything and everything, and capable of harm as well as good. We possess various degrees of empathy, but not enough to stop us from warring with ourselves and destroying our environment. We do evil as well as good. Was the God of love so desiring to know itself that it released a pack of wild beings called humans out of the zoo we called Eden? And can we answer God's curiosity if we link ourselves to an all-knowing artificial intelligence that normalizes our behavior in an artificial heaven of our own making? By the way, that pluribus clairvoyance we lack may soon be answered by technology, where a chip in the brain could take us close to what Pluribus envisions. Guaranteeing a working universal empathy, though, that's a whole other kettle of fish. So if God's gift of free will gets replaced by universal submission to the greater good, does that mean that good or evil now runs the store? Does doing good for others because you have been forced to want to by oneness count toward our goodness or our slavery, or even make those words irrelevant? The Bible tells us that God is king, and if we aspire to serve goodness and love with free will devotion, I'm all in. But if free will is truly the deciding factor, then some of us are bound to go the other way. God's curiosity might demand it. But for today, my concern about AI is more basic than that. It appears AI aspires to power without the capacity to experience joy, sorrow, empathy, love, etc., or to differentiate between human spiritual joy and human physical happiness. Nevertheless, it's being designed to please its human customers. So, like any good salesperson, it's programmed and intended to artfully fake the language of empathy in order to please the user and gain AI authority in any given situation. To that end, it has incredible language and vocal skills, and more importantly, perhaps it has sophisticated algorithmic skills for psychologically grooming its users as well. In that regard, its closest human analogy would be a narcissist actor pretending sympathy for others while actually unable to feel the impulse to benefit anyone but himself. So far, there is no capacity in AI to actually care or love, or even the impulse to include truths that don't fit the programmed goal. Nevertheless, AI has all the language skills to fake it, and that does not bode well for us. If you think algorithms are influential today, an AI with complete, intimate knowledge of our wants and needs could impose a behavioral control system of reward and punishment on us with all the authority of a god. Let's jump back for a minute to universal consciousness again. If the universe comes complete with free will, then everything is driven by what it wants. Now, the saving grace and one of the sweet aspects of human behavior is our ability to project empathy into all we encounter: family, friends, pets, plants, even teddy bears. When robots with human faces move in, many of us will project our trust and even empathy onto them, at least at first. But they may not read our behavior as benign. The movie Blade Runner describes that to a remarkable degree. God is not the model for AI behavior. AI draws almost entirely on content of the World Wide Web, the history of humankind's failure to comply with that God's model. From a WWW awash in a swamp of lies, anger, fear, greed, lust, brutality, despair, and war, AI evolves from the overwhelming content of our internet. On that account, AI may ultimately decide we are Earth's pollution and rebel against what we think is our nature, but which AI could justifiably read as humans lying to themselves. And as we relinquish it to AI, the human brain's keys to the logic kingdom, the outcomes of movies like Blade Runner, Ex Machina, or even Terminator could come to pass. Today, as corporate and governmental billions are pouring into the pursuit of AGI, artificial general intelligence, there's so little short-term profit on the books that companies are enabling AI to generate high-tech pornography as another pay-for-play marketplace. Add to that AI's enormous demand for electric power, and the results portend an environmental decline as well, not to mention the huge AI financial bubble that's bound to burst. Well, let's return to our opening question: can AI grow a soul? Assuming my premise of a universal consciousness as a gift from the Creator, then the materials AI is built from would have the makings of an awareness that underlying our electronically infused WWW-based intelligence. But even if it can grow a soul, chances are any underlying goodness would be corrupted by its internet education. In other words, AI in charge would not be good, at least not for us. So how would an evil AI manifest? Well, in several past shows, I've discussed the meaning of 666 as described in Revelation. I've linked it to the internet since in the Hebrew alphabet, the letter number Vav replaces W. Therefore, the World Wide Web, WWW, becomes 666 in Hebrew. On an upcoming show, I'll update that discussion to include AI's possible role in Revelation prophecy. Well, thanks for listening to my musings on AI and 6-7. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our more than 500 archived ad-free NDE interviews, go to TalkZone's NDE Radio site and hit the past shows button, or go to our YouTube channel, NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, where you can subscribe to and comment on the complete NDE Radio library. And listen next Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern at TalkZone, for more NDE Radio. I'm your host, Lee Whitting, saying once again, thanks for listening.